Well, good evening. I'm glad we could all be here. And I'd like to maybe expand a little more on what we started talking about this morning. Still not very happy with our markers, but Lord willing, we'll get something better at some point. So this morning, I said we was going to talk about saving, spending, and investing. So, talked about our money. I really believe that there's a lot of reference made to how we would handle our money, that it would be a common denominator to be able to teach other principles. And if we got the common denominator wrong, or we're not on the same page, you know, they say in a one of the things that causes one of the biggest problems in marriage is disagreements over money, how you would handle money. So it's important before young people get married that they talk about money and that they find out whether they're on the same page or maybe even in the same book would start out. If you're not in the same book, it's pretty hard to get on the same page. And it's very important for us to be in the same book to be able to understand principles in the scripture. And we talked about things this morning from a perspective that they're inferred or implied in the scripture, and then there is something, a spiritual application that's built on that. Taking into account, see if you got enough saved up to build that tower, to finish that project, whatever it is. All of us have probably been guilty of buying a project because we envisioned it not taking as much money or energy or whatever, and the project ends up going from the front burner to the back burner to the back of the shed to the fence row. And I'm somebody that can stand here and tell you that I have projects older than my children. And it's not that I give up on them, but the reality is that they are so far on the back burner that they would need to be, they've got to be revived before they could even be a project right now. So, I would like to turn to Luke, the 19th chapter, and this is the passage of scripture that I think Rodney referred to this morning. I'd like to begin reading in the 11th verse. And it says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." And a parable is something to do with teaching. This morning, the thoughts we expressed, it's a teaching type time. It's not, if anyone went home feeling guilty, it would only be because you were looking at what the examples are in the scripture and realized that maybe you made a bad decision at some point in your life. And tonight, I want it to be teaching too. I want us to be able to realize this is a parable. Jesus told these parables to try to teach, give examples, and help people to come to an understanding. As the old saying is, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, if it's a pretty good sized fish, but you teach him to fish and basically you equip him for life. So teaching is not just, okay, this is a solution to your problem, but teaching to fish is a principle. It's a concept. It's something, it's repeatable. So that's what one of my objectives is here this evening and today all together. So he said he spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And what did they have in their mind? They had in mind a literal kingdom with Jesus set up as the ruler here on earth. That's what they had in mind. It's what a lot of people have in mind, even today. They were wrong then, and they're wrong today. Jesus has a kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. I believe there are many, many, many illustrations of in the scripture that teaches us that his kingdom is not of this world. He rules and reigns in our hearts. It's 100% biblically sound to teach that concept, but people still get it wrong today. And so we want to teach something here that raises our perspective, and he does it with something that is an everyday thing. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, I've heard some thoughts and read things that's been said about this parable that I'm not going to try to get to today. I just want us to get something that is in here that's fundamental, okay? I'm not saying that we're simple, but I want to stress how important it is that we get the fundamental things right. If we get the right precept, the right concept, the right premise, then the Lord can help us build something extraordinary on that. So he says here, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So these two numbers are important for our little teaching tonight. 10 servants, 10 pounds. It's an amount of money, all right? He said, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. So that's going to be enough to teach our principle from tonight. So, 10 servants, 10 pounds, pretty easy to do the math. Every one of them got 1 pound. He gives us 3 illustrations. One came back and said, your 1 pound gained 10 pounds. Yes, your 1 pound has gained 10 more. He was really doing, I don't know if he was buying and selling chariots or what it was, but you really done well. We are left to our own surmisings. He goes from there to one of them come back and said, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. So what about, was there one that gained 9, 8, 7, 6? I don't know. But we're left to our surmisings. We know this, that only one of them came back and said, here's your pound back. I didn't dig in the yard and put it in a fruit jar. I put it underneath my clothes in the dresser. I hid it under the mattress because I knew that I could never meet your expectations. I didn't try. Here it is back. I kept it, and here it is back. And he met the disapproval just like the man that received one talent in the parable that we talked about this morning. I'm not here to debate whether the parable is talking about the same type of thing or if it's two different settings. This morning, the parable that we talked about, and this one here, a talent and a pound are both units of measure for money, just like kilograms and pounds are in our English, our American English terminology, are two units of weight or mass. Okay, dollars, pesos, pounds, talent, they're all referring to an amount of money. Okay, I'm very aware that all of us come from different financial backgrounds. Every one of us do. I thought before Anita and I got married that we came from similar financial backgrounds. And I'm going to say it's been close enough. It's not the same. And when you get married, it doesn't matter how much you talk and how much you think you're in the same book and maybe even in the same chapter and possibly on the same page with your finances. You get married, you're going to find nuances, little differences. There's going to be things that is a trial on one of you or the other, or you're both a trial on each other. You're just going to find that. It's part of adapting and overcoming. It's part of married life. I know that we all come from different backgrounds financially. But we all have something that's exactly the same when we come into this world. Every one of us, it's the same. It doesn't matter what your financial background is. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what education you have. We are all perfectly equal. And all 10 of these servants got exactly the same amount. You know what that thing is? It's time. Every one of us get the same amount of time. My clock doesn't run faster than yours, and your clock doesn't run faster than mine. And when I choose to ignore my alarm clock, it impacts me the same as if you choose to ignore your alarm clock. When I refuse to use my time the way I should, I get different results than someone that uses it wisely. So I want us to think tonight about how we spend our time. And because I'm standing here and you're not, doesn't mean that I think I do everything perfect. Because I know I don't. I'm human, and I have failures. Human failures. One of the easiest places for us to have failures is how we use our time. We're going to either spend our time or invest our time. I don't know of any way to save our time. I've often thought about the people that followed a different line of work than I have. My work has been mentally challenging, and it's been physically challenging in my life. And it's, I probably have to deal with some things that people that haven't had physically active lives don't have to deal with. I have something going on in one of my hands right now that probably is a result of the work I've done. There's some pain, and unless the Lord has mercy on me, there's going to be some dysfunction at some point. Maybe if I had not used my hands so much, I wouldn't have that issue. I don't know. But I know if I'd had a more sedentary job and not been physically active, I might have some other health problems. I'd probably be fatter. My blood pressure would probably be higher. My potential for having a stroke would probably be more. I don't know. But it's how I've chose to spend my time in my life. So I can't save it up. But I am going to make decisions on how to spend it and how to invest it. All 10 of these servants had one talent. They all had the same amount to do with. He said to them, when he handed it to them, he said, occupy till I come. What does it mean to occupy? Parents, I want to ask you, how important is it that your children are occupied? Pretty important, isn't it? You want your children, when you go, you're ready to go to church and you're going to ask them to sit still and not be jumping and playing, you're going to wonder if you have something to keep them occupied. A little book to look at. Maybe something they can, you know, these little things that you can draw on and then lift the page up and it disappears and you can draw something else. It's wonderful to keep children occupied. One of you parents have had a little thing with switches on it and knobs where little children can turn. And keep busy for a while, learning how to turn a switch and turn a knob and all of it. We want to keep them occupied, don't you? When he said occupy, it didn't mean just to sit down and hold the chair down. He meant for us to make use, he meant for these servants to make use of their time. If we had to give an account of our time from in a 24-hour period, could we give an accurate account? What did you do between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m.? Did you sleep? I hope you did. Maybe you started your sleeping a little bit sooner. Maybe you slept a little later. Maybe you got up a little earlier. But when you got up, how did you spend your time? Did it take an hour and a half to go from rolling out of bed to dressed? I don't know. I'm not here to incriminate anybody, but how did we use our time? You know, learning how to use my time wisely and in has made the difference in my paycheck because of the way I'm paid. We can dilly-dally. Y'all know what that means? We can dilly-dally around and time disappears. Dilly-dallying means that I'm halting between two opinions. Am I going forward or am I going backwards? Am I going to put my brown shoes on or am I going to put my black shoes on? Or am I going barefoot? You know, what? Well, I can't decide. Well, just before you go out the door, you decide to do something else. That's dilly-dallying. All right? I can't decide whether I put this. The better we can make a decision, and I realize that making decisions is not always the easy thing. But the more we can cultivate a process for making a decision, I'll just tell you what I do. I'm talking about getting dressed in the morning. And please, don't go home and think that I'm trying to preach about how you ought to get dressed in the morning. But I just want us to think about time. I generally get up before my wife does. And it's expedient for me to not disturb her if she's being able to rest. So, I endeavor to make a habit to have my work clothes and anything that might cause a disturbance in the bedroom, I have them hanging where I'm going to get dressed, in the restroom. I put them in there before I go to bed. When I get up in the morning, I can come out of the bedroom and softly close the door. I think it helps. You'd have to talk to her after service, but I carefully close the door and I go about my process of getting ready for work and out the door, and I try not to disturb her. But it's just planning ahead a little bit. I'm trying to use my time to the best that I can. I'll tell you, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to know if I got clean socks for tomorrow. I'm going to know. I'm going to know whether I've got a uniform to put on in the morning. And it's easy for me because I put the same shoes on. I wear the same color shirt and the same color pants every day when I go to work. How do we spend our time? And then, how do I invest my time? You know, we talked this morning about doubling the value of our money by investing it in something that's a proper investment. 7 to 10 years, it's reasonable to expect an investment to double in value. That's a rule of thumb in the financial world. What about our time? What do I invest my time in? We had one here, one servant that came back, and he had not only the one that he had, but he had 10 more. He had a total of 11 pounds when he come back. One of them said, "Thy pound hath gained 5 pounds." So he had a total of 6, right? I think that 5 pounds, gaining 5 pounds in the same amount of time that somebody did nothing with, is an exceptional return. And gaining 10 in the same time that somebody else gained 5, that's almost unheard of. I mean, that's extraordinary. And I don't know where the others fell in, but maybe there was 2 or 3 that come back and said, your pound, I've gained 1/2 pound with it. I don't know, but they gained something. So what am I investing my time in that will pay a dividend? I can invest my time in things that are of no profit. What is it? We sing a song about profit, don't we? Sometimes at an altar call service. What's the number of that song? 466. Let's look at some of the verses. 466:8. Let's look at the chorus. What would be your profit to gain all this world and lose your soul? What if the world thinks you're the coolest dude in the neighborhood? You're the toughest guy on the block. You're the best looking woman in the county. You're the whatever. What would it profit it if we gain the world's approval and we lose our soul? We're in the same place as the man was that only had the 1 pound, aren't we? We didn't do anything profitable with it. But what if we took our time and, you know, watch parents, what their objective is in teaching children memory verses? That's an investment of time. You have multiple children in your household and you're trying to get them to learn. It's one thing when they first start and they all learn the same verse. But then as they get a little older and one of them has maybe a little more knack for memorization than the other one does, and you're trying to juggle, now which one, what was their verse? And it's an investment of your time. But investing your time into helping them learn a Bible verse, what do we do that for? So we can impress everybody at church? I want our children to learn Bible verses so somewhere down the road, when they're faced with a temptation and they're faced with a test in life, it'll pay a dividend and they'll be able to say no to the devil. There'll be something that'll come up in their little minds. They may be 10. They may be 14. They may be a young adult that has moved away from the house. But there'll be something about those Bible verses that the dividends will start coming in. So it's important to invest our time in teaching our children Bible verses. And if it's important for them, then it's important for us older folks too, for the parents and those of us that are grandparents. The more that we can invest our time into something that prospers our spiritual man, it's worthwhile, isn't it? That's what we're here in church about. But I also want to challenge you to not be afraid. It's a return on investment when we spend our time learning something that'll pay a dividend in our financial world as well, too. You learn a new trade. In fact, I'll let you in on something here. I'm going to invest some of my time next Tuesday evening. I'm going to drive over here to Joplin And I'm going to sit in a class from about 6 o'clock to probably 9:30 or 10. And I do that. It's an investment of my time. And sometimes I've been going to classes like this for over 40 years. And sometimes I go there and they repeat things that I know. I've been doing it for a long time. So maybe 95% of the things they teach us or teaching the class, I already know that. I know that one too. Yeah, I know that. I have answers sometimes. Sometimes I think the teacher is wrong. Okay, it's just, but I've never went to a class and I didn't come back with something. But I've invested 3.5, 4 hours, maybe total of 5 hours. I've invested something and it's going to pay me a dividend. The dividend is maybe I have an answer or a solution or a process that somebody else hadn't thought of or can't imagine in my line of work. So don't be afraid to invest your time in something that'll help you. This is different because I can spend my time in entertainment. And how much dividends does entertainment pay us? Does it pay dividends? What do we get when we spend our time in entertainment? It's a little soothing effect at best. I'm not telling you can't spend your time and have fun. And you can make memories. But that's an investment. It's an investment. When we invest our time to make memories and build good, solid relationships with our children, our siblings, our parents, whatever it is, it's an investment. And there's a return that comes on. But I can spend my time. There's a difference. I can consume my time in doing something that's not going to help me. It's not going to help my family. It's not going to help the folks at the church. It's not going to help the people that I work for. It's just my time is gone. And if you don't believe me, you just try it. If you're young, wait till you're 60 or 70 and you're going to wonder, I wonder what happened with all my time. Most of my time has been used up. Most of it. I'm not going to make it to 120. I'm just not. Most of my time's gone. What did I invest it in? What would have been a better investment? And how can I help recover my time? Maybe it's investing differently in my relationships with my family, with my neighbors. Maybe it's spending it on something different than what I've spent my time on up till now. And those of you that are younger, think carefully about how you spend your time. Am I just spending it or am I investing it in something that'll pay dividends? If you invest your time in training your children, it's a worthy investment. If you invest your time in cultivating your relationship with your spouse, it's a worthy investment. It pays dividends. It's something that you can gain from. It's something you can prosper from. But if I just let time go by and I don't use it effectively, it'll be my clock will run out and I'll have nothing to show for it. We all got the same amount of time. I want us to be challenged today. How can I use my time more efficiently? When I go from one end of the house to the other, can I carry two or three things instead of just one? If you're carrying that that unsolidified Jell-O to put it in the fridge, you probably need both hands on one bowl. But when you're taking it out of the fridge and it's set up, you can probably hold it in one hand and take something else with the other. I've been able to use time to my advantage in my line of work is instead of, if I have a vehicle with multiple repairs, I don't complete one repair at a time. Usually I take everything apart. I'm looking for unknown, if I'm working on the, I had a truck recently, Rodney knows what I'm talking about. I had the wheels off, I had the engine out, I had the front end all disassembled, all at one time. And in the process, I had the brakes all apart, and in the process, I took it all apart. And I went through the parts I had ordered, and I went through the broken stuff, and as I started putting it back together, I was able to do it faster than if I'd just done one job at a time. I'm not telling you how to do your work, I'm just telling you what works for me. How can I use my time most effectively? How can I stand back and look at my time as a father, as a mother, and use my time more effectively? How can I leverage my time to where I can have a tenfold return instead of a fivefold return? I hope what I'm saying makes sense. Don't set an air castle that you can't get to. Don't set a goal that you can't get to. But learn one step at a time how to use your time more effectively. That's not just spending, that's investing with an expectation of a higher return. This man that came back and had gained 10 pounds, had just as much time, he was given the same opportunity as the one that only had to come back with just the one he was given. And all of us here are given the same amount of time. What are we doing with it? Are we just letting it slip through our fingers? Or are we using it to benefit ourselves, benefit our family, and benefit the cause of God? I think that we can try to become too rigid. And I want to mention something else. I have a radio in my truck. I have CDs in my truck. Things that I have listened to in the past. But I don't change my CDs often enough and they get stuck in there, so I have to... Anyway, that's another story. But I don't turn my radio on very often. Because I do if I get sleepy while I'm driving sometimes. But when I'm driving, It's the best opportunity for uninterrupted meditation. You'd be surprised at the thoughts that the Lord can put in your head if you're driving along and nothing's going on. It's not that I'm just tuned out. It's that I'm giving the Lord the opportunity to talk to me. My hearing aids are a real blessing because I can listen to Church of God preaching and drive down the road at the same time, most of the time. I can listen to a message while I'm driving. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to use my time to be the best return on investment. We have a choice. What are we going to do? You may not be in that place. If you go with me somewheres, Brother David went with me here a while back. We went on a little road trip, got some windmill parts. I enjoyed the day. We didn't listen to the radio. But we talked. We built a relationship a little stronger, a little tighter. You go with me somewheres, I'm going to do my best to talk. We're going to know each other better when we get there than we did when we started. I just want us to think about, how am I spending my time? Am I just waiting for the day to get over? Or am I using my time, investing my time, instead of just spending it and letting it slip through my fingers? You pray for me, just like the thoughts this morning. I want to do this too. I see places that I can change for the better. I can invest my time better. There's some things that I've done pretty good in the past. Maybe I've done very good in the past. But I can get lazy. And you can too. I can get disinterested. I can use my time for the wrong thing. If you're meditating on negative things, hurts, misunderstandings, I'm going to tell you this. You're going to lose on that one. That's that negative equity that you're going to get. You go driving down the road, radio's off. You're not listening to a message. You're not listening to a CD, but you're playing over and over in your mind, why did they say that to me? I wish they wouldn't have looked at me like that. And you play that over and over again, you're going to be in worse shape when you got there than if you'd have said, you'd be better off to listen to the radio. You'd be better off to roll the window down and let the wind slap you in the face. You'd be better off doing something besides thinking about hurts, misunderstandings, and disappointments. Because I promise, if you start out feeling okay, and you let your time be spent thinking about all those bad things that did happen or could happen, or you're afraid it'll happen, by the time you get there, you're going to be a nervous wreck. You can go through your day. You don't even have to be driving. You can go through your day. While you're at the job, the enemy can start planting thoughts and ideas. You know, if my wife or my husband, if they would only do this, if they'd only do that, if my children would do this, but they won't, or I don't think they will, that's a bad way to spend my time. We need to stop it and do something constructive with my time. We need to quit going down that rabbit trail. And if the devil has caught us up in that, let's buy something different with our time. Let's invest it in something different. Don't allow yourself to get more and more discouraged just because the opportunity is there. Choose what you're going to spend your time on. That's the point. You pray for me.